What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America. For America.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Let's get into Juan Soto. Now, I'm going to give you my... We have not talked about this off the air, what we feel or anything like that. We know the numbers. You saw yesterday, Soto had a rough series against the White Sox. Over tension, had a base hit, but the bad base running with Nimmo and all that stuff. But still, just hitting weak grounders in the infield yesterday. But I did see the shuffle. And that's the most important thing to me. I've talked about that for a long time. I want to see Juan Soto be comfortable. I want to see him be himself. And the more shuffles, and you saw a little taste of it yesterday, a good one. This wasn't like one of those half-ass shuffles. It was a real Soto shuffle. It makes me at least feel somewhat encouraged that he's maybe starting to feel more comfortable. I keep an eye on him in the celebrations. I saw it with the Lindor walk-off sack fly on Memorial Day. Where is Juan Soto? The Pete Alonso leg kick, silly celebration. Where is Juan Soto? They're inviting him in. I think there is an effort to try to make him more comfortable, and I'm seeing him make an effort to try to get more comfortable, and I think that's encouraging. I'm not worried about Soto at all.
Okay, so why is it taking him so long to get comfortable?
I mean, it's only a couple months.
True, but it didn't happen last year. Right. And that's what I keep going back to. He just still looks like he's kind of floating. Like he's there, but he's not. And I think that changes. I mean, it better. I think it probably, I know the numbers are going to get better, but he just still looks like he's just kind of there.
Yeah. Well, like, he is.
Well, but I'm saying like not really feeling it.
Well, but the Soto shuffle yesterday, I mean, that says that he's feeling it a little bit, no?
I mean, come on. Was this on the five hopper short? I didn't even see it. I don't even think it went short.
He had a couple hoppers. Whatever. But I'm just saying the actual shuffle itself to me is more indicative or more important than the actual results. The results will come. I'm not worried about that. I don't think like people are talking about, oh, this is the worst contract. Even you said that, I think, when I was out. Like, this is going to be an awful contract. I disagree.
I think it's going to be horrible.
Yeah.
I don't mean like now necessarily.
But we also said that at the time. Like, none of these contracts, the big contracts, age well. I still think it was a great contract because I wanted the Mets to get the player. I thought they had to get the player. They got him. Now he's just got to do his job. Yeah, right now it looks awful because Juan Soto, his numbers are on par with one of the worst players in the sport. He's supposed to be on par with the best players in the sport. But I think he'll get comfortable. I think there are two differences. It's a new team, new environment. He doesn't have the free agency that he's attaining to get to anymore. He's got the big contract. So I think he's with a new team, new environment, and living up to the pressure of that contract. That's it. I mean, when you try to dissect why Juan Soto was struggling, that's it. It's not that he forgot how to play baseball. It's not that he's fallen off. It's not that he doesn't have the skill set anymore. He's still a young player before even the prime of his career, really. So I'm not concerned about that. I'm more worried about him getting acclimated and then feeling like he doesn't maybe need to put all the pressure on himself to live up to the contract, which is something he never had to do before.
Listen, I can mess around and play the game here, but I've got to be true to the conversation. And he's really had some bad luck here. I don't like the way he looks. Yeah. Like, I don't like his body language, but...
He's hitting numbers, dude. Like, I don't want to hear about the exit velo.
No, I don't mean yesterday. I mean, that was pretty ugly here. But, I mean, you're talking about it's 2 months of baseball, and I'm looking at a whole lot of 95, 94, 95, 92, 100%, 80%. 98%, 77%. percentiles, and those are all pertaining to either how hard he's hitting the ball, where he's hitting the ball on the bat in terms of the sweet spot, his bat speed, which has dropped a little bit. That's at 73%. And I remember reading an article on that and even bringing it up on the air a couple days ago. He's dropped like from, I want to say, 75.6 to like 73. Noticeable, but we'll see where that goes. Maybe it's early. He's still squaring the ball up a lot more than most of these players here. So I do think that he could very easily have an OPS of 870 and a batting average of 260 or 270, maybe even higher. I mean, and the advanced analytics back that up. My thing is, he's got to show, like, the onus is on him. It's not on Met fans to, you know, hey, let's cheer for you to pull you out of it. Let's boo you. I know they were, and I got no problem with that. Let's boo you because you're not doing your job. He's got to show, and I guess the only way you really show this is with results, but also with effort that's discernible. Like, we should never interpret, did he run hard? Did he showboat? Did he sandbag it? Was he in space? He's just got to play harder.
I think he's doing that, though, since the Yankee series or the Red Sox
issue. Well, yeah, the Yankees was the ground ball to DJ to his right. Of course, we saw what happened in Fenway when he banged it off the monster. Then he stole second base the next pitch. I got that. Yeah, maybe there's been a bit of an uptick in like outward energy and emotion, and I think that that's a start, but that can't be optional, and that's what I don't understand. I know you don't love these numbers, but look at that. Like, you see a ton of red, you see a lot of numbers, a lot of wacky stuff, right? Like, I really can make complete sense of these numbers and tell you why he's going to be fine, and he should be better off now statistically than he is. What I don't have any metric for is why the guy doesn't look like he loves being a Met. He doesn't look like he's happy.
Well, but that's my point. So when you start to see the shuffle like you saw yesterday, that tells me that at the very least he's trying. Where there was some talk, and it's such bull crap talk, like it always goes to extremes. We talked about it, we discussed it, probably before anybody else discussed it. It goes to extremes where, Soto wants to be a Yankee. Get out of here. He chose to be with the Mets. I don't care if his mother, sister, aunt, cousin, Uncle Charlie, I don't care who told him what. He signed with the Mets. He knew what he was doing. He signed with the Mets for a reason. So the idea that he misses the Yankees, he misses the Yankees, just like you'd miss an ex-girlfriend. And then you move on. Maybe he's not in the process of moving on. I thought you brought up the best point, PT, is that it's hard to move on easily when the ex is right in town with you.
The Yanks are in the backyard. He didn't go to the Dodgers, didn't go out to Seattle where it's just a world of isolation. When he does poorly, Yankee fans chime in and gloat.
Yeah.
The Yankees are rocking right now, so Yankee fans rightfully so are feeling themselves from a team perspective. He doesn't seem missed right now. I think at some point you probably will miss that lethal bat, probably in October as well. But I just think you're getting hit from every angle where the Met fans disappointed, the Yankee fans like, ha-ha, sucker, look at you.
Yeah.
And it just adds up to the tsunami of uncomfortability. But the thing is, it was evident from day one where the Yankees didn't get off to this amazing start right out of the chute. Like, they did actually with the torpedo bats, but then they struggled a little bit.
Yeah.
And the Mets were winning. So it's not like
I don't think it was evident from day one.
I thought that because it was,
remember,
actually.
Remember watching Soto in that at-bat against Hader on day one? Remember that series against
of course.
The Astros?
Yeah, struck out.
He looked like Juan Soto. He was in the at-bat. He looked like Juan Soto. Remember, I tweeted out, we had this issue, we talked about it during whatever series it was, the heart emojis, even after a strikeout, Soto
had
that head.
Yeah, a couple weeks ago,
He still looked like himself.
Yeah.
Something has happened, whether it's the pressure or whether maybe the results weren't there very early on that started to chip away at him.
Uh-huh.
Maybe the I don't want to say antics because I think that has a negative connotation, but maybe the actions of the Mets and trying to be loose and have fun, maybe he doesn't vibe with that where he's more buttoned up and professional like the Yankees would be. Maybe that started to chip away at him a little bit.
I didn't see him as buttoned up a year ago. I thought he was having a lot of fun with those guys goofing off with the celebrations.
I'm not saying can't have fun. I'm talking about the Yankees are a clear, buttoned up operation. Where the Mets, it's a little more loose environment.
I think Mendy's pretty buttoned up. You don't think so?
I don't know. I mean,
He comes across as being buttoned up to me.
I don't think he lets nonsense go. When I say
buttoned up. It's not Davey Johnson letting these guys stay out until 3 in the morning.
The Yankees are a much more buttoned up, quotes, air quotes, professional organization. Now, that's for some people. Some people, it's not. For me, I wouldn't want to deal with that. I'd like to have more fun and be in a looser environment where I could feel like I could really be myself. Maybe Soto likes more of the other environment, like the Yankees, so he's trying to get acclimated. this has been reported about. This is not even speculation. There have been reports talking about, Andy Martino wrote about it with Starling Marte, having to go to Soto and be like, hey, man, this is what we do here. Look at the camera, pose. Okay, some people like that attention. Some people want to be clowning and joking around. And some people don't.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's still trying to get a feel for what the Mets are all about versus what he is all about. And I think that because of the slow start and the numbers and the pressure and the contract, it's all snowballed into something that he's trying to now figure out his way out of this and get back to who he is at his core.
I want to go back to something you said about picking the Mets here and whether it was Uncle Charlie or Mom. Now, there's an expiration point on this. He's going to have to get with the program. He's a Met, and he's the one who put his name on that paper.
Yeah.
I get it. But it doesn't, and this is not a troll, I swear, but it doesn't mean that he doesn't, for now, regret leaving the Yankees.
See, I think regret is the wrong word.
Whatever word you want to use, like second guess or didn't do it, or he did it for his mom, maybe he was so overwhelmed by...
There's no way.
By Cohen bending over backwards that it felt good at the time, and now the season starts. There's an element of missing what was.
Okay.
That's all in play
here.
That better go away for his perspective. But, you can't be saying this for 10 years.
But that's not regret. That's just thinking, missing your old team a little bit and trying to get acclimated to the new... He knew what he's doing. He's an adult. He's not 16. He's 26.
But then why didn't he make his own decision?
He did.
No, his mom did.
It's a family decision. Did
Aaron Judge's dad say, you better sign with the Yankees?
If
anything, Aaron Judge's dad probably wanted to go play for the Giants because he lives out
there. Maybe his wife did. Are you making every decision based on your own, or you're getting your family involved?
When it comes to work?
Yeah.
That's me.
Yeah, you're not consulting your wife at all?
No, I'm not saying that. But when it comes time to sign a contract... Yeah. I'm making the decision that I believe is going to, obviously, best for my family, but I've got to be happy with it.
It's also a little bit different with, I get that, but come on, dude. You're not including your wife or kids in your thought. Yeah, honey, sorry, I don't care that you don't want to be here. I'm just going to sign here because...
We're not moving. It's not like we're going. So it's not exactly the same. I get that.
I
went to San Francisco. Again, I made the decision that I thought, I had just gotten married.
Yeah.
And I didn't have kids yet. And I'm like, what do you think for sure? But I'm like, this feels like the right career move. Let's go.
But they move, obviously, a lot more often or whatever. It's a bigger deal. Juan Soto's got to decide where him and his family are going to be for the next 15 years. That is it. Like, it would be to me foolish if you did not involve anybody else. I don't know how you would make that decision without involving anybody else. Ultimately, you're the one who's going to say, you know what? Yeah, I'm going to do this. I don't think it was Juan saying, mommy, this is like what the reports make it feel like, and then Yankee fans make it feel like, mommy, I want to play for the Yankees. No, son, you're playing for the Mets. I think the Mets are better, but mommy, please, I love the Yankees. No, we're going to get the hell out of here. That's not what's going on here. Juan Soto's an adult. He has an adult agent, maybe the best agent that has ever been in the sports, even though I can't stand him.
Mm-hmm.
They made the decision. So let's not make it like, it's very easy to sit here and take one report and say, well, Juan Soto's mom wanted the Mets. Yeah, okay. And that's why he made this decision for $765 million for 15 years, because his mom said so. It had nothing to do with anything else. It was because his mom wanted the Mets.
But think about the concessions that were made by the Mets and not made by the Yankees.
Right.
Those directly impacted mommy.
Well, and him.
So maybe there was more.
And him.
No question. No, it makes his life easier. There's no question about that. But
if all things were equal and you had the same opportunity, why wouldn't you choose the better offer?
No, I'm not saying that I wouldn't. I'm not saying that I wouldn't, but what I am saying is you better at least pretend that you're happy, and you better start playing better. So until that goes away, whether it's right or wrong or a little heightened, and I'm laughing as you're doing the mommy thing. Yeah. I don't think it. I know it wasn't like that.
No, but I do think that.
But I think there's an element of he leaned on his mom, and some mom's not always right.
Right. Right, but
especially since mom's not taking in the batter's box.
But you make it like mom made the decision.
No.
Okay, but then she gave her input. I know if my father were alive, I'd be going to him for every big decision.
No, me too.
It doesn't mean that I would listen to everything that he said.
I agree with that.
But I'd be going to everything that he said. I'd be taking it all in and making the best decision for me.
Me too.
I believe that's what happened. Now, maybe he was torn. And his family, his mom said, well, I think you have to look what the Mets are doing here. And then maybe ultimately use that and went to the Mets. I don't think it's like He was held against his will.
But nobody's saying. Well, I mean, if people, I'm not saying that. If other people,
but that's
say
what it
that
sounds like. Oh, he
no.
didn't want. He didn't. No, the idea is he didn't want to be a Met. He's only a Met because his mom wanted him to be.
How many times?
And
have
I want to say the curse word because it really pisses me off.
I could see why that would bother you because you know until he starts playing better, like that's gonna live. That's gonna get life. That's gonna get oxygen because there's generally a correlation between how you feel and how you do.
Right.
You know, whether we're sick and we come in and we do a show, I mean, sometimes you have to do it. You have an argument with your wife, you got to come in and you got to do the show. You tell me it's not easier to do a show? Well, now, you and I happen to snap into it no matter what, but there are days where either we didn't sleep or we're sick or the kids are sick or there was an argument or, God forbid, somebody's sick and passed away. I mean, a lot of things that go on. Life goes on. It's time to work.
Right.
And I think
he's got to do it.
He's got to do it. Now, I can't account for the Yankee fans who are trolling and whatever. That's not me. I don't think it's quite the way, and I know you sensationalized it for a reason, but I do believe, because Juan Soto, and I'd have to find the exact quote, I will in a second, Juan Soto said, the Yankees were the first choice.
Right.
Quote, we just couldn't get it figured out.
Right.
And when you say that, that's not us projecting our beliefs on what mommy said to do or what you thought. You told us the Yankees were number one.
Right, but they didn't make the right offer.
That was a quote.
But they didn't make the best offer.
I understand that.
He's also said that he has no regret. So why aren't we using that quote?
Well, we could. Listen, I'm okay with using everything here. But again, the incorporation of that quote will have more validity when he starts looking happier and playing better.
Well, that's the point. And that's why I don't think it should be about... I do not believe his struggles are because he wanted to be with the Yankees. That's, to me, it's ridiculous. Yeah, the Yankees were his first choice. He wanted the best offer. That's what he wanted all along. Whatever the best offer is in his mind, that's what he took. That happened to be the Mets. Now, he's got to get over the fact that he liked it with the Yankees, and he was one way there and allowed to be one way there because the players there, in particular Aaron Judge, went to him and said, hey, you be you. Don't worry about it. We got you. Go out there and be yourself. I don't think he's got that with the Mets so far. Matter of fact, the difference is he also now has a $765 million contract to live up to that it'd be nice if somebody did go to him and say, hey, don't worry about it. We got you. And instead, I think it's just like, hey, big boy, you're making the big money. You're supposed to be the big man in town. Go out there and go do it.
Well, that's a bigger issue then. Now you're talking to an absence of leadership on a team that's supposed to be in a position to win a World Series. That's a different discussion.
Yeah. Well, I don't know that that's... It has not been reported that that happened. It was reported that it happened with the Yankees.
I know. And let me ask you this. Does it have to happen?
Maybe not.
Like, who did it for Lindor after the thumbs down? I really don't remember.
But it took him years to get...
I know.
But you think Lindor was happy being a Met?
No, he looked absolutely miserable.
Correct. So now, do you think Lindor's happy being a Met?
Yes.
So...
I do.
And I think it's going to even come quicker for Juan Soto because he's not foolish enough to do the stupid dumb found thing.
No,
and
I
the
know.
Rat and
listen,
the raccoon
he's going to get
and he's
it.
Better. He's better than Lindor. Juan Soto is a beast. He's an animal that is yet to be unleashed. And when he does, all this fluff talk will be forgotten. The problem is, to your point, it's all about the production. We're trying to figure out why the production isn't there. It's not because he can't play baseball.
Yeah.
Is it because of he doesn't feel comfortable? Is it because of he's thinking about where he was a year ago so far? Is it because he's trying to live up to the pressure of the 760? There's a lot of...
No different... Judge behind him, even though he's had big seasons without Judge. I mean, you got to incorporate everything.
Yeah.
What percentage of everything you just said applies? I have no idea.
Me neither.
But the best thing for the Mets and the best thing for Juan is to go 3-for-4, go on a little run, get player of the week, keep it moving, keep winning games. Because, oh, yeah, by the way, outside of yesterday, Mets are still winning without Soto doing anything.
Yeah.
And now that the pitching is starting to show signs of, you know, and I know they got guys coming back, but, you know, it's suddenly not quite what it was 3, 4, 5 weeks ago. They're going to have to start winning some games with the sticks. And if Juan's hitting, those odds go up.
No, he's...
I mean, he got to go. Let's go, Juan.
To me, it's been like this for a while. Like, all right, enough is enough. And really, after the Yankee series is the one where now, because he struggled in that series, and I think that was the case, now it's all about Juan Soto to me. Nothing else matters. Yeah, okay, well, the Mets won 2 out of 3 from the White Sox. That's great. Like, they should win series. That's great. If Juan Soto was not Juan Soto, fold up shop. Like, it doesn't really matter what you do this season. Alonso isn't good enough. Vientos isn't good enough. Nimmo isn't good enough. Lindor's not good enough. They're not good enough to go out there and win a World Series without Juan Soto being Juan Soto.
I agree.
The pitching is not, they need Juan. It's not a knock on those guys. He's the stud. He's the superstar on the team. He needs to produce like that, and then you'll start to see another level of play from the Mets.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Attention sports enthusiasts. Keep the adrenaline pumping and elevate your game day with Chumba Casino. It's completely free to play. No purchase necessary. Whether you're cheering from the stands, on the move, or relaxing at home, Chumba Casino brings the thrill of social casino directly to your fingertips. Experience the ultimate social casino adventure with reels of casino-style games offering hundreds of exciting options to choose from and fresh new releases every week. There's always something new and thrilling to explore. From action-packed social slots and classic blackjack to engaging bingo and solitaire, the fun never stops. Plus, enjoy generous daily login bonuses and a fantastic free welcome bonus to kickstart your social gaming journey. Dive into the excitement. Discover a world where you can play for your chance to redeem some serious prizes and have a blast along the way. Don't miss out. What are you waiting for? Join now and immerse yourself in nonstop fun and adventure with Chumba Casino. Get in on the action today at ChumbaCasino.com and make every day a Chumba day. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus DNC supply.
Like, he's so disgusted by Juan Soto, he called his boss and said, I can't work today. Like, I'm so just disgusted by how bad he is at baseball. I will correct him about something, and it's easy to fall into this because history changes. Our memories change.
Mm-hmm.
They do. They just naturally do. So he talked about Lindor's first year here. Francisco Lindor, well, at least he was smiling. At least he was a leader. That is crap. That is not true. Number one, I don't think he was smiling all the time. Like, no. I think Lindor actually pulled a Shawn Michaels and lost his smile when he was struggling. That's number one. Number two, a leader? Yes, he's a leader now. He's an amazing leader now. This guy sat at a press conference. I just sent Tommy the audio, so I'm not sure if we could play it right away just to remind people. But he sat at a press conference after a Met game and lied to everybody about a fight that occurred with him and Jeff McNeil and claimed we were arguing if it's a rat or a raccoon. And we can laugh about it now because it's over.
Think about that.
It's absurd.
A rat or a raccoon. Seriously? How the hell could you make any... How could you be confused about that?
Because it wasn't real.
Of course it wasn't. It was a lie.
So think about this for a second. And I'm glad he brought up Lindor because I was already queued up to bring this up. Francisco Lindor in his first year as a New York Met, and granted, Soto's year's not over yet. He's still playing. A lot can happen. A lot of bad stuff can happen, right? Jury's still out. A lot of good stuff can happen, too. In his first year, he didn't smile as much. He sucked. I'm going to give you numbers to prove worse than Juan Soto. And then got into a fight with Jeff McNeil, in which reportedly, it's basically been confirmed, he choked McNeil against a wall in the locker room in the middle of a game.
Wow.
To which
really?
Everyone had to run down. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So, for anyone who forgot, Middle of the game, all of a sudden the TV cameras show the entire Met locker room running, or Met clubhouse running towards the locker room, running down the stairs. It looked very strange. After the game, Lindor is asked, hey, what happened? And he concocts this story about, well, me and Jeff, we were arguing if it was a raccoon or a rat. McNeil joins in on the lie. And then the manager at the time, Luis Rojas, played his game beautifully. He was just like, I don't know what's going on. What? Huh? Huh? Was there a baseball game happening? Oh, I have no idea. And so that's what happened. And then, oh, by the way, a few months later, Lindor, who was hearing boos, decided to thumb down Met fans. Remember the whole thumbs down thing? Like, that was his first year here. It was as bad of a first year as a human could have. And through 55 games, I gave you Soto's numbers through 55 games, 224, 745 OPS, 8 home runs, 25 RBIs. Want to hear Lindor's numbers through 55 games?
Let's hear them.
214, so that's 10 points less. 644 OPS, that's 100 points less. 5 home runs, 13 RBIs. So I don't want to hear it. Like, he was worse than Soto through 55 games.
Yeah, but he also wasn't paid $70 million a year.
He was paid $300 million.
Yeah, but it's not, I mean, it's $30-something million a year now, versus 70.
I want to take you.
It's just, it's double.
I want to take you back to that night in case you forgot, because sometimes we need to remind ourselves how bad Lindor's first year was. And by the way, I love Lindor. This is not about knocking Francisco Lindor. It's actually a great story that he's turned into such an incredible leader. There was an awesome article in The Athletic this morning talking about some of the things he does as a leader. Like, for example, at the end of every series, he goes up to every player, looks into their eyes and says, how we doing? How we feeling? Tell me what's on your mind. And it's great. Like, he is clearly a leader and money well spent. It's been beautiful. I love Francisco Lindor. I will gladly wear his jersey now. He has earned that as a New York Met. But here he is, a few months into his Met career, lying after he reportedly choked Jeff McNeil.
What exactly happened in the tunnel there?
Steve, it was funny because I told him, I was like, hey, I'd never seen a New York rat. So we went down sprinting. I want to go see a New York rat. And he got mad at me. He's like, no, it's not a rat. It's a raccoon. I'm like, hell no, man. It's a damn rat. It's a New York rat, man. I was just crazy because if we were going back and forth debating if it was a rat or a raccoon. Crazy, man. Insane.
Come on.
Who was he? Who are you debating that with?
With Jeff. With Jeff. I was like, bro, you gotta check this out. I was like, this is a New York rat. He's like, no, man, I've been here longer than you.
Why did, you know, kind of half the dugout bench kind of rush down there and see where you and Jeff were?
Because of the rat, man. They couldn't believe that we were going back and forth between a raccoon and a rat. I swear this thing was pretty big.
You know, the reason it's important to play this is to show you, as bad as things are with Juan Soto right now, it hasn't reached that point. That's embarrassing.
He was really convincing himself.
And I don't know if he's ever come out and talked about this where he just admits it.
He didn't break from the story once.
No,
that's pretty damn good. Hey, why did everybody else come there? I don't know. They were just interested because we were debating over a rat or a raccoon.
Imagine that.
How the hell is a raccoon getting in the stadium? I understand a rat.
I love how you're figuring that part out.
A raccoon doesn't make any sense.
Now, I'll tell you something so naive that I had after that game. So the Mets won that game. True story. Mm-hmm. Mets won that game. And because they won and things were looking okay with the team, rat or raccoon became a rally cry. It didn't last because the team ended up falling apart, so it didn't have the staying power that Grimace did. But rat or raccoon was actually shown on the scoreboard a couple of times. Like, ha-ha, rat or raccoon. So it was embraced for a brief period of time. But when you look back on it now, you realize how much of a mess that was. And think about this part, Met fans. This has to make you feel good. They're both still there. Like, they're a double play combination. So obviously they were able to make it work. They may not be best friends, clearly, but clearly there's a respect and it's okay. So as bad as things have been with Juan Soto and we try to make them bigger deals, I will argue with anybody who tries that the Lindor first year was a bigger disaster so far than the Soto first year.
Yeah, but I think Lindor's issue is different because it was interpersonal. I don't think Juan Soto, maybe he does, we just aren't hearing about it, but I don't think that Juan Soto has interpersonal issues with guys on this team. And maybe he's not as tight as he was with Judge and all those guys last year where they're doing all the I don't know, the celebrations after big hits and home runs and all the, you know, stuff that you see that makes it feel like, oh, they're a tight-knit group. Maybe he hasn't found that yet with the Mets, but I don't think it's an interpersonal issue.
And that's a good thing.
I think it's just a performance issue.
And Lindor had both, because, again, I gave you Lindor's numbers. They were awful, plus he had those issues. So those issues right now, besides stories that are just made up, like, oh, he hates it here and he's miserable, it's just the fact that he's not performing. And nobody can deny that. He isn't performing. And, you know, I went over Mark Teixeira's numbers because I've used him as an example. I do want to give Teixeira a little bit of credit. His first 32 games were statistics that are worse than Juan Soto's, but at game 33, that's when his turnaround began. So his turnaround began earlier than Soto's turnaround. Yeah, you know, some guys, it takes longer for their turnaround to occur.
But that's going to happen with Soto, too. You just don't know when it's going to happen.
But when's it going to happen, Tiki? Give me a date.
I told you it was probably going to be around the All-Star break. He needs a break and a disconnect. Look, he's not making the All-Star team, obviously. So you get a week or so off. You go, I don't know, do something, chill out, and stop thinking about the game and come back fresh. So I'm going to say All-Star break.
I give you a prediction. You know when he's going to break out of it?
When?
Tomorrow night.
Why?
I just have a feeling. I just think it's over. I think he's about to break out of it.
This will be the fourth or fifth feeling that you've had?
Oh, have I had a few of them?
I guess I have. Yeah, because obviously it was the Yankee series.
That's true. I don't know. Maybe it's because it's the Rockies. Like, oh, the Rockies are coming to town. I know the White Sox were just in town, but the White Sox can actually pitch a little bit. He's just going to fatten up against the Rockies, and he's going to get red hot. That's my prediction. Let's go to Anthony in the Bronx. Hey, Anthony.
Hey, what's up, fellas? Tiki and Ivan. Listen, I want to ask you a serious question because, and this is serious, because sometimes we embellish people's records and their stats. Juan Soto, and this is serious, gentlemen, a man that averaged 26 home runs and 89 RBIs, do you know that Pete Alonso and his years in the majors have better home run and RBI average per season? So my question is, why we talk about Juan like Alex Rodriguez or Al?
Well, we got to let you go because your phone's cut now. Why do we talk about Juan Soto so highly? Because you just cited two numbers. What about the rest of the numbers? What about on-base percentage? What about OPS? What about slugging? What about batting average? Like, Juan Soto is a far superior hitter to Pete Alonso. I love Pete. He's a Met. He's done more for me as a Met fan. But I don't think we over-embellish Juan Soto. He is what he is. He's a tremendous hitter. And he's certainly a lot better than what the numbers he's put up so far.
And he got paid a lot of money because of his free agency at the right age.
Yes.
You know, this is a different era, and he comes up and he's held and kept down and doesn't accrue those seasons. And Juan Soto is just like every other big star, like Aaron Judge, getting paid at 30, 31 years old, and it's not going to be $700 million.
Absolutely.
But he's available at 26. Like you have him in his prime for a decade at least.
You're talking about a 26-year-old with a 950 career OPS. That player is going to get paid. That's it, and he should 100%. Get paid. That's it. Forget about the individual numbers or compared to this guy or compared to that guy. You hit on a Teak. He's 26 years old, career 950 OPS, free agency. How often did those things happen all at the same time? It's very, very rare.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America. For America.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Attention sports enthusiasts, keep the adrenaline pumping and elevate your game day with Chumba Casino. It's completely free to play. No purchase necessary. Whether you're cheering from the stands, on the move, or relaxing at home, Chumba Casino brings the thrill of social casino directly to your fingertips. Experience the ultimate social casino adventure with reels of casino-style games offering hundreds of exciting options to choose from and fresh new releases every week. There's always something new and thrilling to explore. From action-packed social slots and classic blackjack to engaging bingo and solitaire, the fun never stops. Plus, enjoy generous daily login bonuses and a fantastic free welcome bonus to kickstart your social gaming journey. Dive into the excitement. Discover a world where you can play for your chance to redeem some serious prizes and have a blast along the way. Don't miss out. What are you waiting for? Join now and immerse yourself in nonstop fun and adventure with Chumba Casino. Get in on the action today at ChumbaCasino.com and make every day a Chumba day. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus DMC supply.
Last night we did a little live reaction video as we were asked to do so. So we did that on social media. And one other reason you asked me before the break why I feel like the Knicks could come back and win this series, why I realistically, not just hope, I feel like it's not over yet. Yeah. Another reason is, did you notice in one of those videos, you did yours, I did mine, and Loogie did a video recap.
Yeah, I saw him.
It was a little wavering in positive Tommy, if you noticed that.
He was just stuffing his face with cotton candy and whatever the hell else he was throwing in there.
Stress eating. But positive Tommy was not as confident as I would expect. He predicted Knicks in six against the Celtics. It went that way. And even when they were, you know, started to maybe look like it wasn't going to be the case, he stuck by it. He predicted Knicks in seven here. After they lost the first game, he said, quote, no biggie, they'll be fine. 0-2, still confident. Knicks in seven. Down 3-1, I'm not getting the sense that positive Tommy is confident, which gives me confidence that they're going to stick it to him because he showed a little bit of doubt. He shouldn't have done that.
Oh.
A little doubt has crept in from positive Tom.
Well, I'm sure he'll rectify that as soon as the show starts at 2. Start airing it out.
What's he stress eating today? Between him and Mirage, I don't know if there's enough food for the two of them stress eating.
I'll tell you, you're going to have to start stress eating if your boy doesn't wake up as Juan Soto comes up to the plate hitting a robust 228.
Speaking of stress eating, yeah. I want to see Soto go deep right now. I was going to pray to the sports gods to let him go.
Look at this. Five.
And when I mean go deep, I mean hit one out of the infield.
Little six hop to short and over to first as Soto sinks to 226.
He moved the runner over. Good job, Juan.
Yeah, good job.
He got Nimmo in scoring position. We'll take it.
Good job, Ray Ordonez.
We'll take it. Move the runner over. Get Big Pete up there. Just Wally keep the
Backman
line moving.
Doing his job up there.
Keep the line moving, Juan. Oh, beat dude. The Excel.
What do you think he has real fast?
Yeah.
I'm going to jot this down. I'm going to keep this in my notebook. If I said to you, listen, of course he's going to wake up at some point. To an extent, we don't know, but I'm going to hold you to what do you think his final batting average is?
We should look over, by the way, our over-unders tomorrow. Maybe revisit them. We haven't done that in
months. Good call. Yeah. Let's do it. That we had before the start of the season. Yeah. What do you think Juan's batting average will be at the end of the season, and what do you think his OPS will be at the end of the season? Right now, he's at 226.
226 batting average.
And the OPS, I believe, is about 760. Did that math real quick.
I'm going to say
the numbers weren't too high, so it wasn't that hard.
I'm going to say...
Yeah, batting average.
I'm going to say he's going to hit...
Be realistic, buddy.
I am.
Okay.
And I think this is still low, but at this point, you'd certainly take it. Well, now, his career is what, 275? You have his
275
career?
Or 276.
Yeah, something like that. I'm going to say 265.
Okay.
I had 260 written down, but I just gave it an additional 5.
It gets hot the final week when the Mets clinch, when they have it wrapped up already.
265 would not be good, but I think that that's fair. Is that not realistic?
I think it's realistic, and I think it's fair, but I also think it's representative of how bad he's been to start this. I mean, 265.
All well, right. But he is a career, you know, 280-ish, whatever, 275 hitter.
Okay, and what's the OPS?
See, this is the problem. He's at, you said, what'd you say now, 760?
Seven change, 750, 760-ish.
756 right now, Hoff says.
You're going south of nine, you're going high eights. I go about 880, 875, 880, something like that, maybe.
I mean, that's pretty high, though. You're saying 880?
Yeah.
The over-under, I believe, for the year was like 960 or something
like that. Oh, yeah, he's an OPS beast. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to probably say...
low nines? You think he gets up there?
I don't know if he could get to nine. That would be me wishful thinking at this point. I can't realistically say to you that in my heart and my gut, mm-hmm. I feel like that's going to happen. I think it's possible.
Yep.
I wouldn't be stunned if it did. I would not bet. Like, if I had to bet money on it, I'd say over 850, something like that, between 850 and 9.
So, can I just tell you?
Yeah.
In his career, his lowest OPS was 853. It happened one time.
Was that when he hit 246 that year?
That was...
first year with the Padres?
Yeah, 242 between the Padres and the Nationals.
Okay.
He, every other year, has been over 900.
But I would imagine other year has been better starts. And listen, there's... he's got a lot of at-bats coming. I know it's almost June.
No, but he just doesn't.
April. He doesn't look the same. But it's so early. I mean, I
you'd go over that, Hoff? 900?
Yeah. I wouldn't.
Yeah.
I'd go under it. Slight. Yeah, I'd go under
it. I would, too. Matter of fact, I'm thinking, like, for him, yes, it's bad. But for him, at this point, it's not April anymore.
No, I know.
Like, when we did this with Judge last year, it was, all right, well, it's April. And even then we were saying, like, hey, man, Judge, I don't know how he's going to dig out of this hole. He might be a 270 hitter, 260 hitter. And he went on an incredible tear, maybe even the best tear of his career, which is remarkable to think about. It's now Memorial Day. Like, June is around the corner. We're approaching June, and his OPS is 750. You think he's going to raise that 150 points over the next 3 months? I mean, maybe. I mean, if anybody could, he could. But based on what we've seen...
listen, 750-ish OPS for him is really low. But to me, just looking at the average, 226.
All right, well, what do you think he ends up with the batting average?
You said 265?
Yeah, and again, he's a career, what, 270? Well, Hoff, what's his career batting average?
Well, that's one of the things...
282. That, 280.
There you go. Okay, I thought it was 270. See, but that's one of the things why, like, I always push back. What I kept hearing, and I understand the on-base stuff, the generational stuff, I'm like, guys... he's had a couple of years where, you know, 276, 242, 246. So he's not a 315 guy. He's just not that guy.
What did he hit last year with the Yanks?
289. I'm going to say that his batting average is going to be about 260.
Yeah.
261.
Which is a problem. So if we're talking about, let's say he even gets the OPS up to 880. It's still, if he hit 270.
Yeah.
270, 880 OPS. It's not good enough.
And how many home runs? I mean, even the home runs are lagging, too.
He's got eight? How many home runs
I'll
he
tell you what he's on pace for here.
Yeah, he's got eight.
Eight and a half. Don't forget about
that. Yeah, eight and a half. That's right.
Don't forget about that.
He almost had one bombs. In Fenway, if you want to add those two halves together.
Yeah.
Here's the positives. I'm going to give you some positives here, okay? His worst month in his career is always April. His OPS is 848. Everything else is after that is up in the nines. His best is July, where he bats over 1,000 OPS.
So he's just getting warm, is what you're saying.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, it just needs to warm up a little bit. Stop raining.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, listen, I'm looking at these. What does it really mean? Nothing. Just, but it's a roadmap, possibly. He's projected to hit 24 home runs with 74 RBIs. And I think the thing that just jumps out, same amount of walks to strikeouts. Like right now, he's on pace to go 121 walks and 121 strikeouts.
There was one number, you're probably more into this than I am. We were doing it yesterday on Baseball Night in New York. His expected slugging.
Expected slugging or expected average?
No, expected slugging versus his actual slugging, I think, is the biggest difference in baseball.
Yeah, he has hit into some bad luck.
Right.
Less recently. But there was a point, and I remember referencing this, barrel rate and all these things.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, he was squaring up some balls with no luck. So, I mean, is he really hitting 228? I mean, well, he is, but should he be? Probably not. But I also, it just doesn't look right. There's been...
yeah, I'm going with the eye test. Man. I'm going with the eye test. The player that I saw torment the Mets for years as a member of the Nationals, the player that I watched on a nightly basis last year dominate baseball along with Aaron Judge as a member of the Yankees, he's not the same guy.
No, he's definitely not.
So the question becomes, he will be the same guy eventually, but will that be in a month, 2 months, next year? That's the answer that we don't know.
I know.
I think everybody would say that he's going to eventually get back to who he is. He's too good. He's too young.
Yeah.
This is not a fall off the cliff situation. It's not a handle the pressure. He's just finding his way in a new environment, and that could take some time. How much time? That is unknown.
There's a lot of unknowns to that point, you know, and we're just kind of piecing this together, obviously. We could be way off, or we could hit this on the head. Who knows? But I'll tell you one thing that's definitely changed for me, and I think it's changing for a lot of people. Like, you heard, certainly the first couple of weeks, even going into early May, all right, he's going to start lighting things up, going to start going bonkers. I think it's pretty clear now. Like, I could say with good confidence, his first season is not going to be nearly what it should have been. He's going to have a month where he goes bonkers, and he's not going to hit 228 on the year, but there's been too many empty at-bats already. And you know, even though he's a really good hitter, that there's going to be another funk at some point. I mean, just because the nature of hitting, it's cyclical. So when that happens, it's going to offset some of the good that he's eventually going to do, and it's just going to be a season where we're going to look at these stats and be like, wow, this is what he did.
Or he can have pedestrian, if not poor, stats.
Yeah, and I know where you're going. October. He could. No, I get it. I understand.
October.
I don't know. Just make sure those Braves don't get too hot.
No, I mean, that's Phillies, but the Mets. You know, nah. But the Mets is a team. They've been playing well. I know. Focus on the Yankees. Mets keep winning these games.
But they're not hitting the way they should.
But they're still winning.
True. No, you win the game, but listen. The Yankees almost, I mean, again, they lost the game to the Colorado Rockies. Just win the series. Collect some wins and move on. I get it. You know, I think that the Mets are going to win 93, 95, 94. Mets will be fine.
Get in. I mean, Soto's doing what Pete did last year, basically.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's been 2 months. But remember, Pete had a minimal impact on the entire regular season.
Yeah.
Then in the postseason, had his presence felt.
Mm-hmm.
And Soto he's a more proven player in the postseason than anybody in New York that I could think of right now.
Yeah.
Not being facetious. No,
Glaber was good, but he's gone, and Judge has had a rough time. Stanton.
Lindor.
But not from an average perspective, more from a power perspective.
And also didn't win the World Series, Stanton.
Yeah, I get it.
Soto has won one. Lindor's had some good postseason moments, not just with the Mets, but with the Guardians before.
Killed the Yankees. Hit a big home run against the Yankees
Andrew
back in the
Miller,
day.
Remember that one, if I'm not mistaken, right? It was Andrew Miller.
The Mets drop one to the White Sox, and the Juan Soto stuff once again is bubbling up as some boos were heard as the runners in scoring position thing is still going on. Him not really being himself is still going on. So if the Knicks lose tonight, welcome back to New York Sports Juan Soto, because you're the microscope's going to be back on you, JS. Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
Yeah, good morning, G. And I watched some of this yesterday, and I heard the boos and everything else, and I just have to say that it is so predictable that something like this is going to happen.
And to the Mets, you're saying?
Yeah, to the Mets. Yeah. I mean, it just happens. And I know that we've been around here for a long time, and we've watched and waited for guys to come out of their slumps, and eventually they do. I mean, you know, Pete Alonso had a terrible year last year, but had a huge home run in the playoffs and then came back and get off to a great start this year. Francisco Lindor was terrible the first part of the season. Remember when Javi Baez got here and that whole mess and the anger that was and the vitriol that was thrown towards Lindor and Baez and everybody else. I mean, it was crazy. But, you know, Juan Soto's going through it right now. And there's really nothing he can do other than become productive. There's nothing he can say. I'll tell you one thing he can do. The one thing that he can do is that when he is playing baseball, look like you care. Look like it means something to you.
Yeah.
And show the hustle that is required to earn the fans' respect. Because fans know. Baseball fans around here are great baseball fans. They know the sport. They know what they're watching. And they know that he's a great player that's going through it right now. But the only thing that he can do to make it worse is he looks like he's playing lazy in the field or coming out of the dugout late or you know, kind of meandering out of the batter's box after what he thinks is going to be a hit or a home run. Those are the things that just kind of exacerbate all the problems that he's probably dealing with right now. And we've been down this road with a ton of athletes in this town. We know what it's like, but I also know that he's just too good not to think that somewhere along the line he is going to just absolutely explode and he'll probably end up carrying the team for a couple of weeks.
Well, I mean, he has to, and if he doesn't, and this is what he's done so far in April and May projects out to the end of the season, that is going to be really ugly. And you see some of the big Dominican stars coming out in his defense. We talked about Pedro Martinez last week, talking about how there's a human in there and how we need to think about that when Juan Soto was going through stuff. You had David Ortiz just yesterday come out and say that the expectation for Juan Soto are all out of whack. And he hit free agency. Well, I got it. But here, I actually think he has a point, but it's something that you had said for a while leading up to it is you'd never pay him that money. He's not the best player in baseball. He's not a five-tool guy. And Ortiz is saying the same thing. It's that there's a lot of people that see that he's the highest-paid player in baseball and think that he's going to be Barry Bonds when Barry Bonds had a giant head and hit 73 home runs. And that's not who he is. So there is some of that going on, but he's still way below where he should be in certain offensive categories. And I don't know. I mean, there is something about the, I don't want to use the word laziness, but there's his flair is not there. That energy is not there that we came to be used to seeing last year when he was in Yankees uniform. And I don't know if there's something personal going on in his life. I'm not sure. There hasn't been any reporting on it. But that is one thing. Like, forget about the numbers and the war and the OPS and all of that. It's a demeanor thing that I think is the most frustrating to fans.
But it's $750 million.
Exactly.
It's private jets for his family. It's a suite for his family.
He's the happiest he's ever been in his life.
I mean, at the end of the day, Steve Cohen bent over backwards and gave him and Scott Boras everything that he demanded and wanted. Something that the Yankees were not going to do. And this performance thus far, under the guise of everything that has gone his way and where he ends up on the salary structure, is going to bring an enormous amount of pressure. He's got to know that, and he's a great player, and he's going to have to deal with it. I mean, that's just, there's no other way around it. I mean, everything that he has gotten from the Mets, it made the Mets look like they were completely and utterly like all in, and they had to have him, and that they were going to go to whatever degree it took to get him. And they did. And I mean, in all the little perks that he has gotten, I mean, they're out there now.
Big perks.
And I mean, like, it's not a joke, man. This is like, this guy is potentially a billion-dollar baseball player. And that's why, you know, the people who spend the amount of money that they do on tickets don't want to see a guy that it doesn't seem like he's given 100% or the flair is gone. The flair should be there. 100% attitude should be there. And I totally understand why he is receiving the criticism he's getting. I totally get it. But I also know that he's a guy that in a moment's notice can go on a 2 to 3 week run and carry this baseball team and show how he can be one of the best hitters in baseball.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't have to be an either-or thing, which is sort of what you're getting right now. You're getting the people that are saying, oh, he's a total bust, and you're getting the other side saying, ah, he's going to break out of it. I mean, both things can exist at the same time, that at the end of the season, people can expect the numbers that he normally has, but right now he's just not good. You can't excuse any of this away at this point. It's 2 full months of the season, and enough with the excuses. And I know Carlos Mendoza can't come out and just... He did once criticize him and said, we got to talk about that when he didn't run out the ball that went off the Green Monster. He did say that. But like something like yesterday...
Did you hear what Carlos Mendoza said after the game?
I'm about to read it now. Gosh. So honestly, today... He's talking about Soto. Honestly, today was one of those days where he didn't hit the ball hard, but I thought his foundation... His lower half was in a better position. And for me, that's a good sign. He's 0 for 4. He doesn't hit the ball hard, but his lower half's in a good position. So we're moving in the right direction here.
Yeah,
right?
And I think I think Carlos Mendoza is running out of things to say and just saying things because he's being asked constantly about what's going on. And he's trying to protect his player, but he's also trying to manage the team.
Yeah, but this is a bridge too far. I'm sorry. He could say, yeah, he didn't have a good day. You know, that's what happened. Next question. I mean, we all saw it. It's not like he was privy to other information and we didn't. You can go deep into the mechanics if you want, but his lower half's in a better position? That's the most ridiculous excuse I've ever heard from a manager.
Yeah, I don't know if it's an excuse. I think he's looking for something that he can say positive about his player. There's not an excuse. Like, the excuse would be like, you know, he's got a bad wrist and he's not getting around.
All right.
This is more of a positive attribute of a player
grasping at straws spot.
Yes, 100%. When I heard that, and I when you hear, and I'm sure Jerry will play it this morning, when you hear Carlos say that, you're like, come on, what are we doing?
I know.
Who are we talking to now? Yeah. Are we talking to his family? Are we talking to, because if you're talking to the fans, we're all just going to roll our eyes.
Yeah, I mean,
I think collectively, that's probably what we all did.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure that a couple of minutes later, Mendoza was probably like, well, that was a silly thing to say. I mean, he knows it. He was around the Yankee fans. He's been around Mets fans. He definitely understands what the fans are thinking. So I don't know if he's trying to give extra pats on the back or extra encouragement to him. But I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if you found out that there was something going on with him that was distracting him, with a family situation or somebody sick or whatever it may be. Because I mean, that's like the. You know when you're around people and they're just different sometimes. I mean, that's what it feels. Now, I don't know him personally, but we watched him for a full year last year in a Yankee uniform all the way to the World Series, and I haven't seen a shell of that guy yet.
Hell, I wanted him 4 years ago.
I know you did.
When Jerry was bopping around here.
He was.
I wasn't planning on paying him, you know, $750 million in private jets and suites and everything else. And who knows what else he's getting?
I'd start taking away stuff now. That's what I would start doing.
Well, they're not going to do that. But
it'd be great, wouldn't it? It'd be like, listen, if you don't get this average above 280, that suite for your family, gone.
Let's get to what matters.
Juan Soto?
Juan Soto.
0 for 4?
Juan Soto was 0 for 4 with a walk.
Got booed today.
He heard some boos from the 900 people that were in the ballpark.
He is now batting 224.
224? He's batting 224. He's got worse numbers than Anthony Volpe. And yes, I've seen that from 150 Yankee fans that are texting at me or tweeting at me. But here's the real weird part about Juan Soto. Go back over the weekend to Saturday night. Mets beat the LA Dodgers, and Juan Soto just missed a grand slam. Remember that? It was pretty cool. It pounded the ball off the top of the fence.
Yeah.
And what was so cool about that moment was not only was it a big hit and really cool to see, but you felt like now he's going to break out of it. Juan Soto, since that double, is 0 for 17. And I don't know if this was said on the broadcast. This has got to be one of the longest 0-4 stretches Juan Soto has had. Now, before we continue and anybody say a word, I understand that yesterday there was a scoring weirdness that led to him being screwed out of a hit. Mm-hmm. He should be 1 for 17.
Right. Either way.
I'm not going to I'll get into that on the Rico Bronya tonight. We'll break that down for like 12 minutes. But bottom line is, Juan Soto right now is struggling as badly, Teak, as we have ever seen.
I don't think you've ever seen this, and today was odd because while we weren't talking about the game, we were kind of keeping an eye especially in the breaks. Of some of the at bats, and Juan Soto, one particular bat, I think it was the one it was the walk he had.
Mm-hmm.
It was Juan Soto dialed in, staring down the pitcher, doing a little mini shuffle.
Yes,
like it looked like throw me a pitch, and this thing is going 430 feet. That's what it felt like for a second, and then he walked, and then he continued to go over, dribbled, soft dribbled to second base, a strikeout. He just can't find himself, even when he's doing the things that we were asking him to do, which is show the attitude, show the shuffle, show the confidence. And I don't know how he finds this. Maybe it's an all-star break thing. Maybe the emotion of this big contract in the early part of this season and them winning despite him not playing well is just overwhelming him or in some capacity. I don't know why, because he's Juan Soto and he's never really had this kind of issue in his career, but for right now, he looks like, even when he tries, he can't get it done.
He's a mess. And when he was struggling earlier this season, he wasn't struggling like this.
No.
Like, he would actually put up numbers where you're like, oh, for most major leaguers, that's pretty good. Now, his numbers are so bad. Yankee fans, I give you some red meat, because this is the other one that's floating around now. Juan Soto's OPS is lower than Aaron Judge's slugging percentage.
No, it's not.
Yes.
745,
746.
Oh, God.
How about this one? Juan Soto's slugging percentage is lower than Aaron Judge's batting average. And that's according to Max Mattis of John Boy. And Max is doing what Yankee fans are doing, and you have every right to do, which is having a good time. and spiking the football for now.
Right. Juan Soto's slugging percentage is .393. Aaron Judge is batting .395.
Yes. It's a mess. Like, whatever number we can throw at you, it all describes what we're watching, which is a guy that's a mess. But I present to you good news. And I said this to you a lot last year when Lindor was struggling, and I'll certainly say it again. While I didn't want to watch them lose to the Chicago White Sox on a Wednesday afternoon, they did lose this game because they gave up 9 runs.
Yep.
They are still sitting pretty damn pretty despite this from Juan Soto. They are 12 games above 500, winning 60% of their games. And they're doing it, same record as the Dodgers, by the way, you know, the holy grail of baseball. And they're doing it with Juan Soto funking as worse as we've ever seen. And to me, that is good news.
Yeah, of course it
is. Because it means that eventually, and I do stand by this, Juan Soto is going to get hot. Like, he's not going to hit 225 the whole year, though those may be my final last words, right? Famous last words. But they're winning despite it.
Yeah.
So what I say to my fellow Met fan is this sucks and it's painful, but as long as they're winning series while this is happening, that is a very good thing.
Well, I know the Braves came back towards 500, but they've subsequently faltered a little bit.
Yeah, because they're losing to the Phillies.
Right, but yeah, exactly. But the
Which
big
is
thing,
annoying.
The big thing is the Phillies. They were 9-1 over the last 10, and that's the team that they're still in striking distance with. But if they get hot, meaning the Phillies get hot, and the Mets just keep...
Well, the Phillies already are hot. They've won 11 out of 12. Well, they're hot.
If they stay hot and the Mets stay where they've been for the last 30 games, which is basically 500, then that's when it gets ugly. Well, that's when the Phillies run away from you, and this Sal Licata is in at least over thing becomes... Yeah, not in the way that I like it, though.
Yeah, so eventually Sal's going to say the NL East is over the other way.
Yes.
Look, the Phillies, to their credit, did a really good job of beating up bad teams. And they almost got demeaned for that because they beat up Chicago and Colorado and the A's. And my answer to that was, well, the Mets are about to play Chicago, and they're about to play Colorado.
Right.
I hope they beat them up the way the Phillies do. And so far, it's 2-1. We'll see what they do against the Rockies this weekend. And then they play Colorado again next weekend. It's not easy to just beat a team over and over again, as bad as a team is.
Right.
So I will actually be okay with winning 2 out of 3 against the White Sox. I want to sweep the Colorado Rockies and go from there. But it's not even about, like, concern in the NL East, because the Philly schedule is going to stiffen up. They've won 10 out of 11. They've been red hot. The Mets are still only 2 games back. It's more, they got to get this guy going. And you said there are no signs of him turning it around, because every time there is a sign like that double from Saturday night, it's like it gets short-circuited.
Yeah.
And even last night, so I got to the Met game late last night because I missed my train, and so I took the 7 train. And I walked in the bottom of the first inning. No big deal. I had Tommy's voice in my head. He's like, there'll be a second pitch, there'll be a third pitch.
You had Tommy's voice and I had the wrong words.
No biggie.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. Should have had the no biggie in there. But I walked into the bottom of the first inning with them down 2-0, and I sat down as Juan Soto came to the plate. And Juan Soto hit this majestic line drive up the alley to right center field. And nothing defines Juan Soto's first year with the Mets more than the fact that Brandon Nimmo had his head up his ass. And don't tell me the umpires confused him. The umpires clearly signaled it was a base hit. And Nimmo's running back. And Soto's like, what the hell's going on? So it's so typical of Soto's year and the luck that he's had that here he does finally rip one up the alley. And he gets no hit out of it because Brandon Nimmo's running backwards towards him. But they got to get him going. And I still have a confidence that it's going to happen. And a part of
why
I have that.
Like, why?
Because I've seen so many guys have this happen.
What's Mindy going to do?
Nothing. No, you're not doing anything.
What can Chavez say, the hitting coach? Like, what can they do to make him be better?
I don't think there's anything I know specifically in terms of his habits that are going to turn him around. I'm just saying I've seen enough guys come to New York and struggle early on. And I would hope that most people, whether they're Yankee fans, like John and Masbeth, who immediately called up when we were talking to Juan Soto because he wants to get his Fletcher wounds. We'll get to him in a second. But Yankee fans and Met fans know this has happened to all of us. And I don't believe Juan Soto forgot how to play baseball. I don't believe this is Space Jam, it's the Monstars taking it away from
me. I agree with you, but 220 sounds... It feels like that Pete Alonso season where it's like, he's a better than a 220 hitter or whatever it was. And what did he hit that season? 217?
What's he doing now?
Of course he's doing
it. Did he forget how to play baseball?
Of course he doesn't forget how to play baseball, but it lasted for the entire season. And I just feel that this Juan Soto thing probably has something else in it other than just he's off to a bad start.
By the way, it is certainly on the table because when I speak about other guys who have come here and struggled and then it all works out, they've had bad first years. So it's on the table that this doesn't change in 2025. And that'll be tough for us because we're trying to win. And it's going to be even more difficult to continue winning especially if the pitching is going to come back to the means, if you will, mm-hmm. and Juan Soto is struggling. But it is on the table that it's not turning around tomorrow. Look, Francisco Lindor had a bad first year. It didn't turn around the first year. Carlos Beltran had a mediocre first year. It didn't turn around in the first year. So sometimes it is a bad first year. I just mean this isn't going to be some albatross. And I'm getting emails in my Rico email account like, oh, it's Jason Bay. He sucks. This is a disaster.
No, he's not that guy.
I can't get to that point. I'm frustrated he isn't hitting. We all are, but I'm not getting to the point of he forgot how to play baseball. He got his money, and now he doesn't care. But I get it, Sean, Yankee fans. Well, you go do your thing. Whatever jokes you have, get it out of your system.
Here's all, and I'm being dead serious about this.
We don't want you to be dead serious. We want you to get it out of your system. If you have jokes, just say it.
Juan Soto will be fine. Juan Soto will be awesome. But just remember, on May 28th, 2025, Juan Soto's batting average is closer to Oswald Peraza's than it is Aaron Judge's.
There you go. That's what we're looking for. Get it out.
That's all.
Get it out.
That feel good, Sean?
Yeah.
Kind of, but you know what sucks? I like Juan Soto. I want him to see. As much as I hate that the Mets signed him, I genuinely like Juan Soto.
All right. If he's not going to give the Yankee fans what they want, John and Massbeth will. John, the floor is yours. Make all the jokes you want.
You know what? Say his name and I appear.
John and Massbeth.
The bats.
I believe in hating on Juan Soto. I got some, as the vice president of the coalition of Juan Soto haters, with Keith McPherson will probably be the president, right, the vice president.
Right.
I got some numbers, some stats of how great Juan Soto's season has been so far.
All right, let's hear them.
This is of all the qualified batters, so of all qualified batters, meaning, you know, they have the appropriate number of plate appearances per game.
Mm-hmm.
There are 136 players that have a higher batting average, 102 players with a higher slugging percentage, 87 players with a higher OPS, 81 players with more RBIs, and, only one player has grounded into a double play more, and only three players have a worse defensive WAR war. Mm. So he just sucks all around at the plate, base running, defense, coming out of the dugout.
I gave you your time.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Grilling season is in full swing, and Whole Foods Market has the essentials to make summer meals simple, flavorful, and affordable. With great everyday prices across the store, it's easy to build a crowd-pleasing spread without sacrificing quality. The 365 by Whole Foods Market brand offers a wide selection of grilling favorites, like no antibiotics ever chicken thighs, ground beef, wild-caught salmon burgers, and uncured hot dogs. There are also plenty of sides to choose from, including organic salad kits, kettle cooked chips, tortilla chips, and bold zesty salsas. For toppings and marinades, look for organic condiments like no sugar added ketchup and yellow mustard, plus spice rubs and sauces to bring extra flavor. To round things out, pick up sparkling water, organic lemonade, and pints of ice cream, plus organic cake cones for an easy summer dessert. There are so many ways to save on summer grilling favorites at Whole Foods Market.